Hey guys.
Hi.
Welcome to Lock Your Doors.
Are we recording?
Yeah, no, we're recording.
Yay!
Yay! We fucked everything up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
It's okay. So we're going to just jump into the red elephant in the room.
Yeah, we did like a whole thing and then...
We did a whole thing.
And we cut off the theme song again.
Yeah, we started something. We had a really good intro going.
We did. And then...
Naturally.
We were going to just start, which we could have, but you know me. I was like, they know us. It's fine.
Yeah. So we cut some things up. We did some things, but...
But yeah, so let's talk about the red elephant in the room. Basically, I decided to go really red for the summer. Which I decided to do when we went to
which
Nebraska.
Is my favorite on you anyway.
Right. And I decided to do my eyebrows.
I see. I see that from over here.
So they're very, very red right now. They're very, very red.
They are. So, but they look nice. You have good shape. You can really see the shape because of how red they are.
Thank God. Thank God. But I did. Yeah. You were like, I thought you penciled them in, but.
Yes. I saw a picture and I was just like, oh, she added red to her eyebrows to match her hair. Because when we were on little mini vacation, work vacation, you had dyed it red.
Yeah.
With the cayenne, not the Cheyenne red.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier in the first intro.
And, when you guys didn't get to hear.
Yeah. And I still was like, yeah, guys, I still am stupid. Let me just throw it in here. So I don't want you guys to miss the stupidity.
Let me tell you about my mistake.
And that's what I sounded like when I did it. But anyway, when she got it there, I said, well, aren't you supposed to do your eyebrows and match it all up?
Yeah.
She's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
So then she starts to get crazy.
I was like, let's go full Ronald McDonald's.
Well, they look good.
Shut the fuck up.
And you did that. You just did that, though, right? They weren't like that on Memorial weekend, were they?
What's great is I have a wedding to go to. That's great.
When's that?
This weekend. Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Don't try to tone them down or anything, because then who knows what you'll end up with.
Oh, they're going to be penciled as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have unusually dark eyebrows for a while.
Oh, that's
it's
funny.
Fine.
That is funny.
Very expressive.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that they weren't like that while you were over at the house for Memorial Day. My sister and my mom would have probably made a comment, a nice comment.
Yeah,
but I'm like, sure. Who does your eyebrows? My sister's a hairstylist.
She didn't even have any pity on me whenever I was there. But
No, she had a few vodkas in here.
I was like, when can I see you for a hair appointment? She's like, January.
She's like, I graduate nursing school in December, so I'll deal with the January.
Yeah.
I know, I sent her a text. I'm like, hey, I desperately need my hair. She's like, can we do it in between classes? It's the 8-week class, and I'm on week 5. And I was like, no, I normally text you with 4 months available to wait.
Right.
Because I'm desperate.
Yeah.
But no, I really do text her like a month and a half before I actually absolutely need something done because I know that it's going to take the long to get into her schedule.
She's so overbooked.
Yeah.
That's showbiz.
But yeah, so I gave her some vodka Memorial Day to try to shake all that off, and she got real aggressive real quick, and she had to go take a nap. So... Anyway,
yeah.
So I was going to also talk crap on my mom, but she's a preacher's wife, so I thought that was probably, I shouldn't do that.
Oh, well, you just threw her under the bus anyway.
Yeah, but I didn't, I mean, that's it. I didn't.
She's like, I'm not going to say anything else.
Yeah, I mean,
other than she did,
everything's left to your imagination.
She did partake.
Little. Tiny bit.
Tiny, tiny bit. Hey, man, you got to pour one for your homies every once in a while. Pour a 40 for your homies. Just Memorial Day.
Or just vodka and Rockstar.
Yeah.
For your mom. But speaking of preacher's wife, today's episode is Bible John.
Amen, brother.
So I felt like I had to squeeze something in there.
Yeah. I was like, where's my papers? Here they are.
Oh, yeah. You do need some papers.
I do. I've got them.
All right.
Oh, I got a new mic. So.
Oh, yeah. And it sounds amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I can see you. That's why I notice your eyebrows, because I can see right into your eyes. So if I just go silent, it's because I'm captivated.
You are by my red eyebrows and my blue eyes.
I'll just be like, oh.
Such an Irish princess.
Yeah. So anyway, well, we're just going to go ahead and talk about BJ, Baba John. That's his nickname. He's a serial killer who is believed to have murdered 3 young women after meeting them at the Barrowland Ballroom in Glasgow. Is that how you say that? Mm-hmm. Glasgow, Scotland, between 1968 and 1969. The ballroom originally opened in the early 30s and was originally used for weekend markets and had a large weatherproof hall above the market area. It was a pretty big deal, but in 58, a fire resulted in most of the building being gutted. It was rebuilt 2 years later and reopened on Christmas Eve, just in time for the swinging 60s that many called the beginning of the hippie movement. A 25-year-old girl named Patricia Docker, who was a nurse and a single mother, told her parents one night that she had gotten a babysitter and was going to go out. So sometime in February, she planned on going to the Majestic Ballroom, and no one knows why this was changed throughout the night, but she ended up going to Barrowland Ballroom instead. Some say that she was persuaded by a man known as Bible John, which I don't know.
So, like, she knew him before?
I don't know. Hmm. I feel like that's, like, after all this came to fruition, right. And then they're like, oh, it was Bible John that made her go to Barrowland.
Right. Like, he set her up.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I guess she could have gotten talked into it by somebody, but the odds of it being Bible John, I don't know.
Right. Like, maybe her plans changed and it was just a friend.
And then she met up with Bible John after she was there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, or maybe she could have. I mean, that clearly was his thing, was there, but... no one has any proof of anything, of how she changed her plans or anything. Right. And, of course, we can't ask her.
Clearly. She's not here to tell her story. But that's why we're here.
Yeah. So, regardless, she ended up at the wrong ballroom at the wrong time. Funny side note, though, that ballroom often had a 25 and older's night for older singles in the area to mingle. But all the younger people called it grab a granny night. That was kind of funny.
Is that a thing in Scotland that they call bars ballrooms? Is that like their word for clubs?
I don't know. Is that a thing? I did think it was pretty. I was like, oh, that's cute. There's so many ballrooms.
We're just like imagining this like grand ballroom where everybody's in like a suit and tie. And
yes, middle America.
They're all doing these like fancy dances.
It must have been so grand to live in Scotland,
right?
With all these beautiful ballrooms.
In the late '60s.
Yes, that's kind of
that has to be a word for club or something.
Yeah, I should have probably figured that out. But I didn't. No, I just was like, wow, I really want to go to all these ballrooms.
Well, I didn't hear about the Majestic ballrooms. I just put two and two together there.
Yeah.
Because I'm so smart.
You are really smart.
It's my red eyebrows. I'm on fire.
You are on fire. Hot, hot, hot.
My superpowers.
Uh-huh. Anyway. So Grab Your Granny Night is rocking in Scotland.
Yeah.
I could be a radio DJ with that attitude.
Yeah, you can.
Rocking in Scotland.
Granny.
Okay. So rumor has it that Patricia was not the type to partake in the swinging game, if you will. And she was a very dependable, hardworking single mother who had fairly recently separated from her husband and was adjusting to raising her children on her own and just needed a night out. So that is exactly what she sought out to do. Let me just say, I don't think to partake in swinging, you have to not be dependable.
Right.
You
like,
know, like, I don't want...
Don't fucking be judgmental. Like, you.
Yeah, I was like, I want to back up and clarify what...
Yeah, like, don't fucking sex shame.
Yeah, do what you do. But people say that that wasn't her thing. And so they don't... Just know that.
Whatever.
So the next morning, a man heading to work came across the body. It was the body of Patricia, and it lay just behind Carmichael Place, which was just a few yards from where Patricia lived with her parents.
Yeah, I fucking read that. That's so crazy that she was so close.
All of them.
So close, yes.
Her body had been stripped nude and strangled with her own stockings, and she had also been raped. Also, reports state that she had also been beaten, but it is unknown if the beatings occurred as she tried to fight off her attacker, or if it was an act of him... I'm sorry, excuse me, I burped. It was an act he performed after raping her, but maybe before strangling her. So they don't know anything.
Right.
Either way, that's ridiculous, but
yeah,
take it away.
Yeah. No, no. That's crazy. So when the police arrived at the scene, they reported that Patricia's clothing and her bag were missing, which police assumed the killer had took to keep as keepsakes or to ensure the evidence wasn't found or to even delay the identification of the body. So, however, when the cops... when the cops had questioned her parents, they said she had went to the Majestic Ballroom, but remember she had changed, she had had a change of heart at the last minute, and she had went to the Barrowland Ballroom instead. So police never really had a chance because they focused their investigation on the wrong ballroom. So that's crazy.
I know.
That sucks.
Really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when they did figure it out, they went full steam ahead, but it took them, I mean, they lost days.
Yeah.
Hours.
Yeah. So dramatic. Like seconds turned to hours, turned to days, turned to nights.
You liked it.
Yeah, you gotta have that 48 hours, guys, or you're never gonna piece it together.
Mm-mm.
Can't catch a killer.
You're just buying time so you can find your spot.
I am.
And then you just look back at me, which means you just lost it again.
It's true. You interrupted me and I almost had it. So witnesses confirmed that they had all seen her, but everyone said they didn't notice anything unusual and nothing and no one stood out that was with her. So
sorry. Okay.
Tone it down.
I'm going to reel it in.
Since it took days for the police to interview and question witnesses at the correct ballroom, many of them had already forgotten most details of that night and really weren't able to help the police much at all. Even the bouncer said, sorry, we're not really good at faces.
He's like, well, then you're fired. Because that's your job. It's to ID people.
Right.
Make sure they are who they are and let them in and out of age with your grannies.
Well, I mean, I guess if you see so many a night, you're probably like, ugh, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, still no excuse. You're fired.
Like, you're checking the age, and then you're like, move on.
Yeah.
So
I forgot you used to bounce at all the ballrooms.
I was a ballroom bouncer at one point in my life.
I forget. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take that away from you.
Don't discredit me. The police were desperate and started searching for the clothes and missing bag of Patricia's. So they were hoping that the killer had taken them as mementos, but hoping he or she may have dumped them or gotten rid of them when the case started getting media attention. So sadly, Patricia's case had become a cold case and everyone stopped talking about it until 18 months later. So in August of 1969, Jemima McDonald, who was 32 years old, made plans to go out for the evening on a Friday night. So she was recently divorced. She was also a single mother, much like Patricia. And on a Friday night, Jemima left her three kids with a babysitter and headed to the Barrowland Ballroom. However, when Jemima's sister had not heard from her by the next morning, she was a little nervous. She said it was unlike Jemima to even go out, but especially to not return home and not pick up her kids. So Jemima's sister decided to walk to Jemima's apartment in hopes that she was passed out on the couch or something. So her sister had been asking around to see if anything, if anybody had heard from Jemima. So I guess on her way to the apartment, she noticed that there was a group of kids that were exiting an abandoned building that was a few blocks from the apartment. And she had overheard the kids say something about the body, but thought absolutely nothing of it. She just assumed that the kids were like fucking around and trying to scare each other.
Which I get. I totally get that you're like, oh, kids. But when you're concerned about your sister and you might... That would be, I'd be like hypersensitive.
Your sister's missing.
Yeah. Like, I know she doesn't officially think she's missing. It's only been an overnight and she did go out with, you know, like.
Right.
And she's still hoping she's passed out on the couch. But if I really was so concerned that I felt the need to walk to my sister's home.
Right.
If I would hear some kids about saying something about a body, I would at least be like, yo, kids. what'd you say?
Right. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just think that it's like, oh, just kids being kids. Let me just. Go hope my sister's not dead on her couch.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't hear kids saying. I don't know. Maybe in today's world, we're more hypersensitive.
Our sick and twisted
stuff.
Children talking about death and go kill yourself and stuff. That
no, like maybe oh. We're more hypersensitive to that stuff because kids do find bodies all the time now. So we're like, what? You found a body? But maybe, like, back in the 60s, they thought their world was a safer place. I don't fucking know.
Well, yeah, that's why I would think that that's my exact point. Why, if you hear somebody talk about it, you'd be alarmed. Like, what are you guys talking about? Yeah. A body or going in and finding out, you know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But who am I?
Who the fuck am I, you know? Yeah. We're nobody. We're the amateurs. We just talk about this shit. So they were talking about the fucking body and all that shit. And she was just like, whatever. And then, so that Monday, Jemima's sister decided to go ahead and make sure the kids weren't onto something.
Days later.
Are you fucking kidding
me? 3 days later.
Wow.
See?
That's crazy.
Like, you're just sitting around pondering, like, wonder if those kids really did have something up their sleeve.
I wonder if there's a body there. That's crazy.
I mean, it is right by my sister's house, which I haven't seen for 3 days, and she's got three kids.
That is weird. I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know. Anybody got any ideas on that one?
Yeah.
That's weird.
So, maybe I'm jumping to conclusions. I'm really upset about it.
I'm very upset with Jemima's sister. I am.
A little bit sad. I mean.
A little bit. I mean, yeah.
Disappointed.
It's not her
little,
fault.
It's not, her but fault, I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah. You should have been on top of a little bit more, Jemima's sister. So,
But it was a safer time then.
It was.
You're right.
It
was. Maybe that was not at all what was on her mind.
We shouldn't be so mean to Jemima's sister.
That's why I'm trying to.
I feel bad now. I know, feel like I should have reeled it back a little bit.
It was a sense. Yes. Yeah. We're sorry.
We're sorry, Jemima's sister, girl.
It's been a tough time for you. That Monday was a bad day.
Jesus. You got a bad case of the fucking Mondays. So she was fully clothed, unlike Patricia, and it appeared that she had been beaten to death. So, however, just like Patricia, she had been raped and partially strangled with her own stockings. So that is fucked up.
Yeah.
That is fucked up. That is so fucked up.
Well, and the similarities didn't end there. Both women were dark hair women, and they were also both wearing black dresses that evening at the ballroom. And both of their purses were missing. Both women had been killed within 50 yards of their own homes.
This is so crazy.
And both were menstruating at the time of their murder.
Yes, whenever I fucking, I listened to a podcast. Oh my God, why can't I not remember the name? I was going to write it down and I didn't. I'm such a fucking bitch for doing this. It was called, I'm totally going to write it down and say it on the next one because I feel like such a bitch for doing this. But anyways, if you could Google it, I think it's like the only fucking one there is on it. But,
probably.
Yeah, yeah. But they were talking about it. And then I was reading the comments on it. It was like on YouTube or something like that. And I was reading the comments on it. And somebody was like, how would he know that they were menstruating? Do you talk about that? Do you? Okay.
Yep.
I'll shut up then.
Yeah.
Because I did not read today's episode.
That's good. You're not supposed to.
Yes, I wanted to be surprised.
Yes. yeah, I go into that later.
Okay.
And I have my own thoughts on
theories,
that whole
theories.
Why that was a thing, too. But so, yeah, they were all menstruating at the time of their murder. This time, there were a few witnesses for Jemima's killings, you know, in a sense that they were able to help the police know what happened that night. One said that they remember seeing Jemima leave the ballroom with a really tall, redheaded man that was in a nice suit, and he had gotten his face scratched by got a face sketch. I can't read.
No, it's fine.
Well, I'm still stuck on, look how I spelled tall.
Rawl. He was a raw redheaded man.
He was rawly redheaded. So I was just like staring at that and I couldn't even get past it. Like, okay.
Keep up, guys.
So, yes, he's a rawly
red-haired man.
Red-haired man, got it.
Very nice suit.
Nice suit, got it. And so they got a face sketch, but the witness was 100% sure on the smaller details. So that's, you know, the part that makes the face-to-face she wasn't real sure with.
He had a mouth.
He had a mouth, but
some
I can't
eyes
tell you.
And a nose.
So that didn't really help much for them. And it was,
did you just say help?
Help. Man, pimp in distress right now. I don't know where to even put my piece of paper. Okay. So, yeah, the sketch didn't work out too well because it's just like the depiction of one witness. So it's not the most accurate. Police canvassed the area and went door to door with the sketch and questioned everyone around until one woman said that she thinks she may have heard the murder. She said that she had heard screams coming from the abandoned building that night. Unfortunately, she could not remember what time she had heard the screams, and there was no one to verify that the witness statement. So basically, it just ran dry, and they couldn't, you know, in, yeah. So,
so fucking, I do not understand this, guys. If you hear fucking screaming coming
the freaking clock
from an abandoned, call fucking the police, guys. Call the police, please.
You know, and I don't know what people do in that building that she's used to hearing screams that made her feel like she didn't need to call the police.
Okay, well.
But basically, nothing happened. It just ran dry. And then, basically, it was getting to be about 2 months later. Yeah. People are starting to forget about everything.
Yeah. I always think about calling the police. I'm always like, is that a gunshot? Because, you know, I live in
snitches
fucking...
get stitches, Talia.
Well, you know you my...
You better calm down.
You know my neighborhood, girl.
You better not call the cops.
It's always gunshots.
It's always... Bang, bang.
It's always at Ray is like, just shut up.
Let it
be gunshots.
I know. I had to hide inside because she was all up on her neighbor's porch pointing her finger like, I need your tree cut down. And I'm like, I'm just going to go inside till you're done.
Hey, man, that tree pisses me off. I hate that tree.
Talia's rowdy.
These red eyes.
She's not going to be murdered.
No, I'm not.
No. She won't be taken scared. Quietly.
Scared off of these brows.
Oh, gosh. So, okay. So, in October, which is about 2 months after the crime kind of ran dry from Jemima... There was a Helen Puttick who was 29 years old. She had made plans to go out with her sister Jean Williams, and guess where they decided to go?
The Barrowland Ballroom.
Why? Why would you do that?
I have no fucking idea.
There's been two murders there, or two people that have last been seen there right. within the last year and a half that have been right. murdered pretty gruesomely in their little small town.
Yeah, so you're like, hey guys, this sounds like a good time. Mm-hmm. You think they're like, yeah, you think they're...
And there's clearly more than one ballroom.
Patronage would have gone downhill.
I mean, what about the Majestic? Why couldn't they even went to the Majestic?
It sounds so much more majestic.
I mean, I would rather go to the Majestic over Barrowland or Barrowland.
I don't even know what the Barrowland, what that is. Majestic sounds...
Way better.
Fancier.
Prettier.
For sure.
But anyway, so Helen was married to a guy named George. They had had two kids. I believe they were both... boys, because that matters, apparently, to some. Helen had told George that she was going to go out with her sister, kind of like a wingman, and have a good time. George didn't like the idea of her going out that night, but he knew that she had went out with her sister before and everything was fine, so he decided not to even argue with her about it. She probably was going to go do it anyway, and she went on her way, but before they went, he did make them both promise that they would take a taxi home no matter what. And he had each given them money, actually, to make sure that they can't use that as an excuse. Like, we ran out of money.
Right.
So the sisters get to the Barrowland Ballroom, and they had had a few drinks and danced a little before they were approached by two men. They were two separate men, too. Like, the men didn't show up together. They just, I guess, bumped elbows. Like, yeah. Let's go hit on these girls together. Right. I don't know. But both men were named John, which is also really
weird.
Very weird, yes. So one John called himself John from the town of Castle Milk, while the other never shared his hometown. Gene said that Helen had danced with the John that never shared his hometown a couple of times that night. So he was kind of rubbing up on the married one.
Right.
So she said that the four of them all had spent about an hour together. And during that hour, they had had a few drinks and had a great time and danced. But it was getting late, and so they left the ballroom, all four of them together. John from Castle Milk said that he said his goodbyes and went his different direction as he lived in the other direction. Mm-hmm. The other John got into the taxi with Jean and Helen, the bad one, you know, supposedly. So side note, I read another article mm-hmm. that said that all four of them did get into the taxi together. But when they dropped Joan off first, John from Castle Milk got out too. And decided to take a bus the rest of the way home because he said that the other John was making him feel creepy. So I don't know how much...
like, what a fucking gentleman thing to do,
oh,
Dick.
I know. And it gets better, too, like, what you find out. Because they also, I say later, the reason why, like, when they come back around and question, they ask him why he left. He said that he thought that this other John was a cop. And so he was like, he's like, I thought it was a cop. I wasn't going to go home with a cop. Like, I took the bus. It's like he was going to smell my reefer in my pocket. Right. If I get in the taxi.
It's late fucking 60s, bruh. I was about to fucking go do some cocaine.
I had just dropped acid. Why would I get into a car with a cop?
It's freaking me out.
But yeah, either way, he's either a dick or definitely doesn't care about women's safety. Yeah. Like, if this guy's giving you the creeps, you're just going to let these two girls get in a taxi with him.
Why the fuck are those girls getting in a taxi and they're married and shit?
Well, Helen's married. Yeah. Jean was not. Jean was the single crazy fun, well, not crazy, but the single sister.
Yeah.
But that's what kind of pisses me off. It's like, Helen's the one dancing with the guy, and Helen's the one that has a man at home. Yeah, I wasn't real excited about Helen's decisions either, but...
Helen.
But anyway, it's no fault of her own that this happened to her. So this is not...
I know.
She couldn't have helped it.
These men, though, they could have... That one guy.
Yeah, John from Castle Milk really could have...
John from Castle Milk.
Could have helped, possibly. But I don't know which one's 100% true, so we're just going to go with that. Okay. He went a different direction.
Okay.
So Jean, the sister that's not married, got out at her stop and left Helen in the taxi with the other John, and that they had headed to Helen's mom's house where she lived with her husband and kids. So at 1 a.m., the taxi dropped both John and Helen off just a few yards from her mom and husband's house where they were living, where George was still up. Waiting on his wife at 1 a.m. He was still awake, waiting.
Yeah, I fucking read that, too.
Completely unaware that she was right outside their house with the man that was about to rape and kill her. Like, she was just, he so, yeah,
that is horrible. So fucking sad.
That, and he said he had,
could you imagine how much, like, shit he felt? Like, you know, like, I would go through what-ifs all my life. Like, what if I would have stepped outside? What if I would have been...
What if I would have trusted my gut and said, no, you're not going?
Right. Or what if I wouldn't have had the TV on? Or what if I... Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I would have already...
Because clearly he must have, like...
guilted myself to death.
Yeah. And clearly he must have probably fallen asleep, you know?
Right.
Like, or waiting up or something. So, I don't know. But... Yeah.
I don't know. It's fucking awful. Absolutely awful.
Mm-hmm.
So, poor George, Helen's husband, he finally, I guess, fell asleep on the couch whenever he was waiting on her. He awoke and he was concerned, obviously, that Helen still wasn't home. So when he looked outside, there was a police car. He went out to find out what was going on, to notify them that his wife still had not returned home. The police immediately asked George what his wife was wearing, and after they told him, they pulled him over into their van, and they told him that his wife had been found in the garden right behind their home. So Helen's body was found in the back garden of their house. She had been beaten, raped, and strangled with her own stockings. Her purse was missing, like the others, but this time the contents of the purse were found scattered all around her body, and the killer left a deep bite mark on her leg. Her feet were covered in grass stain, indicating a struggle. Helen also was a woman with dark hair, wearing a black dress, and she was also menstruating at the time of her murder. This time the police had the bite mark, at least, to try and find some matches, and they were able to find a small amount of semen from Helen's tights, but DNA comparison obviously were not available at that time. So the police launched one of the biggest manhunts that Scotland has ever seen in its history, and Joe Beatty led the investigation and was known for solving bigwig crimes and working almost around the clock on this case. So they were able to make somewhat of a break. They had witnesses that not only witnessed John, but they'd actually spoken with him. So Jean, she was with a man for over an hour, very close and personal, because obviously they all hung out together.
Mm-hmm.
Jean said that this John was very strange. He was tall, he was slim, he was very well-dressed, and he had reddish hair. She also detailed that in front of his mount, one of his upper teeth had crossed the other. So I guess in the front of his mouth.
I don't know. He was mounting it.
Mount? Shauna clearly did not spell check this.
No. I type real fast.
She also said that she believed this John said his last name was Templeton.
I'm just picturing something being mounted right now.
I know. It's like mounted his upper teeth. crossed over the other.
Like, face like, hump. That's okay. I'm like, oh, I'm picturing as a face hump.
I was like, did he wear dentures? I don't understand this.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. His last name was Templeton or maybe Simpleton. So she said this John was well-spoken, very polite. She said she remembers him frequently quoting scripture and that he had referred to the ballroom as a den of iniquity. And in the Bible, this means a place where dangerous and illicit. I have to look because I don't know the Bible.
I'm that's why I put it. I was like, I'll go ahead and look this.
I'm a heathen. That it was a place where dangerous and illicit activities are carried out in case someone didn't know that. Oh, you're just going to take a jab at me on that one.
Yep.
Yeah. You should have put it all on the same page.
I know. I didn't know it was going to print out this way. Yeah, the jab didn't work.
Yeah. It's okay. I jabbed myself before you could. He made several references to Moses and was heard saying, I don't drink in Hogmanay, I pray. Hogmanay is the Scots word for the last day of the new year. Because there was so much reference to the Bible during this investigation, the press started to refer to him as Bible John. So Helen said he stood approximately 5'10". He appeared between the ages of 25 and 30. She said he had a soldier-like posture and he had a military-style watch. They also used Jean's description to make another face sketch, but police began to question her description, as some witnesses say that Bible John had black hair, but police were worried about the lead investigator, Joe Beatty, because he trusted Jean and spent an obsessive amount of time memorizing the sketch, and rumor has it he would even dismiss suspects if they did not resemble the image of his standards. So officers said that he had tunnel vision when it came to this case, and I did read that too in one of the things that I read, that they were like, yeah, he dismissed so many suspects because they just didn't match the description.
And he was like, Gene is the only one that's seen him. I'm going to go with Gene. All you guys are period. Just crap.
So they were like, he could have very well just dismissed a suspect.
Yeah, which this. I love him for trusting a bitch. Eh. But it's he didn't do his due diligence for on behalf of Helen. Like, I get his, I get his mind, like, I get why he would think that Gene is the best chance. Mm. But again,
you still have to explore other avenues.
Well, and if you are a detective, you know that the way people interpret things when things like that happen, when you piece it together, it's so me and you can see the exact same thing and say it completely different.
Yeah.
And remember it completely different.
Yeah.
So he's not really doing his due diligence. But
like maybe from across the room, he looks like he's got darker hair. Maybe he has auburn hair. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or maybe you didn't notice that the ballroom had red lights on his black hair, which made it look red. Yeah. Like you don't.
Yeah.
So many things. I should be a detective.
You should.
What color were the lights?
We're so smart. So many more questions.
Is there any? There's not enough evidence for anything.
Shauna always has so many questions.
So many questions. What was the angle he was leaning at before he opened the door?
Let's know everything.
What was that meme? I'm not a ride or die.
Like, first of all, where are we going? Can we get food first? Like, who's going with us?
I'm not ride or die. I have too many questions. Like,
I don't want to die.
No, I won't do that.
Yeah.
So according to the investigation, Jean was drunk that night again, although she claims that she was just a little bit tipsy. Other people thought that she may be a little bit too drunk because other witnesses gave conflicting descriptions. So some of those same bouncers that they said that don't remember faces said that they believe this man had to have been shorter and had that jet black hair. And so that's where the black hair came from, is from the bouncers, which, you know, they don't remember faces, but they remember height and hair color. So I guess it helps a little.
All of a sudden they're...
Yeah. Also, Jean mentioned that Bible John was quoting the Bible again. So others said that he did make some references to it, but they never heard him quoting anything directly from the Bible. So many of the police believe that Jean was drunker than she thought and that maybe her description was not accurate at all. So at this point, they're literally just dismissing everything that Jean's telling them because they can't find the killer with what Jean's telling them.
Right.
So a witness comes forward and confirmed that Jean nor Helen were the last to see Bible John that night. This witness said that he saw a man around 1:30 a.m. fitting the description of a tall, thin man with reddish hair, and he was nicely dressed, and he got off the bus on Gray Street. The witness said he looked disheveled and had scratch marks on his face, and the witness say that the man walked towards the ferry, which runs across River Clyde and into the south side of the city. Somehow, he got away. After this, there were no more murders, no more sightings, and Bible John was gone. which I thought that was kind of funny mm-hmm. because his description matches Jean's.
Mm-hmm.
Everything to
yeah.
a T.
Yeah.
He had the scratch marks at 1:30. At 1 o'clock is when the taxi driver dropped mm-hmm. them off. According to this, it wasn't too far away.
Yeah.
So he could have, like, literally dropped them off. I mean, that had to have happened
Popped
quickly.
On the bus.
That,
yeah.
that murder had to mm-hmm. have happened fast.
Yeah.
You're not going to just linger that close to your house and not get yeah. in before, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, people were desperate for answers at right. this time. They kept coming back around to Jean, poor Jean, you know, being questioned all the time. The only true living witness at the time. And so she, and over time, you know, she kept forgetting things, but mm-hmm. at the same time, new things started to come forward. She started to remember more little bits and pieces. So through further questioning, she remembered more of the conversation that happened that night. And she said that Bible John has referred to women as adulterous and told a story about a hole in one. Oh, sorry. A hole in one that his cousin had scored during a round of golf. This clearly was useless information for the police, and they still had little to go on, so that they started to send undercover cops to the Barrowland Ballroom, even going as far as returning to the ballroom with Jean in hopes that she recognized him or maybe even just seen him.
Mm-hmm.
They worked out a signal for it if she did see, and she never did.
Oh, yeah, I did read that, too. I don't understand why, like, this dude is, like, fucking bitching about how fucking this is a place of iniquity, and he fucking is talking about fucking shit about women.
And how is that, like, a good time that you want to spend an hour with him?
I know. I'm like, bro, why are you here?
What,
like, get
grumpy
the fuck out of here. Yeah, like, you're killing my buzz.
Get was he crying?
Like, Jesus.
Did you guys see tears?
Like, you're such a prick.
Yeah, such a prude.
I have a fucking shot.
Debbie Downer.
Jesus.
Like, why are you here if you don't like whores?
Jesus. If I'm such a fucking adulterous bitch and you fucking hate this place.
Yeah.
Get the fuck on, Bible John.
Get the fuck on, Bible John.
I'll pray for you.
Jesus. No, he's already praying for you.
Oh, well, whatever.
Don't forget, he will pray for you.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Fuck that guy.
The re-examination of the evidence shows all the similarities. Again, each of the three women had that dark hair. They all three, and this includes Jean or Helen as well, they wore black dresses. They spent their last night at Barrowland Ballroom. Each of the three with it were beaten, raped, and strangled with their own stocking and left out or murdered within close proximity of their homes. All three of their purses were taken, and all three were menstruating again at the time of the murders. Also found near each victim body was either a tampon or sanitary pad, either placed next to them or still on them. Most likely the one that they were wearing during the time of the rape. And that's kind of, I'm just going to take a quick break on this because, or not a break, but I just want to say something that I feel like this menstruation thing is... And I could just be there's so many other variables to think about, but I'm just going to tunnel vision here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was one of those things that, yes, he targeted women with dark hair, black dress, all that, but then when he would, what I'm saying is, could they have stayed alive if they weren't menstruating? Because he wanted to have sex, but then when the woman's menstruating, he became like, oh, you fooled me. Like, how dare you? Like, I'm going to kill you now because now I can't. I mean, he still raped him and stuff, but I wonder how many times did he ever bring home a girl that wasn't menstruating that stayed alive because she wasn't. Like, they just had their sex and did it, and then they left.
Well, I just don't see, like, the women getting, like, having sex with him so close to their homes.
But I just don't know, how would he know that these women are menstruating?
So, that's what I was saying, is that I was reading that thing where they were talking about comments and stuff, and they were like, well, maybe because he would dance with them, that he would, like, feel, like, their pad, or their, somehow he would manage to know. And then they were also saying, like, maybe when they would go to the bathroom or something like that, he would go through their belongings, like, go through their purse, or maybe he would...
But I have tampons on my purse all the time when I'm not menstruating.
Yeah.
And when I'm menstruating. So you could not look at the inside of my purse and know if blood's coming out of the JJ.
I don't know. But yeah, like you said, maybe he was a rapist, and then whenever he would rape them and they would be menstruating, that's when he would kill them.
That's what it would turn into, like an anger.
Because
the only ones that he's ever killed, or at least been tied, have been the three that were menstruating.
Right. Like,
so I wonder
a rage killing.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Because
did you?
Because even my best friends, I don't know when they're on their period or not, and I know what to look for.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The only time I knew someone was on their period when I watched them play softball, mm-hmm. and guess what happened?
Yeah.
During the softball game.
Yeah.
Their white bands weren't white anymore. It was sad. I was like, somebody needs to tell her. Get her out of here. She has no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's what it is. I think if they weren't menstruating, they'd probably be alive. Really? I think they would have just gotten raped.
Yeah.
Which would still suck.
Yeah. There's a lot of question on how he knew.
Yeah.
That they were.
That's what makes me think that it was
a rage killing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Like, I really wanted some and you just took it from me, so I'm going to kill you and take it from you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
But yeah.
I've been stuck on that for a while. I'm just like, but yeah. How did
I was too. And then I was reading through the comments and they were like, well, maybe it was because the pads were thicker and he somehow, when he managed to dance with him, he would, you know, something.
Is
or
it
he
really
would,
gross to say sometimes? I'm like, do I have a tampon? Sometimes I don't even know. Did I miss something?
Hey, girls, check your purses. Yeah. Do you have one? Because you might die.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird. Yeah. So that's, well, it's a mystery, guys.
Or if he went through the purses and saw that they were menstruating, why wouldn't he have just moved on to another girl that wasn't?
Yeah, if he was a rapist.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
So
that's my piece on that.
Yeah. No, it's weird. Yeah, it's weird. So another witness came forward, and retired Chief Inspector Brian McLaughlin interviewed the witness, who was the manager of the ballroom, and he said that this guy had gotten into an argument with him when the cigarette machine had eaten his money. But the manager also did not agree with Gene's face sketch. He said the guy had a more square face and didn't recall the crossing teeth, but did say that this guy was missing a tooth in the upper right portion of his mouth. When McLaughlin followed up on this tip, he found a man hanging out at the ballroom. He would come alone, and he had been quoting lines from the Bible. But when McLaughlin tried to make the man to take the man in for questioning, he escaped by jumping through a plate glass window. Damn. They later tracked him down and interviewed him. His name was John Edgar, and he was from Castle Milk, Glasgow.
The other John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he might have been the original other John. The police cleared this John after the questioning, but many still believe he did it or knows more about it. In 2005, a book was written about Bible John, and the book accused John Edgar of the crimes. This led John Edgar into submitting his DNA for analysis, and he was fully cleared of the crime.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Did he say why the fuck he jumped through a plate glass window?
No. I mean, if he did, I couldn't find... It was just so...
What the fuck?
I mean, it was really... It was really strange. It was really strange. But this was the other John, but he literally had... I mean, he...
Yeah, like... Yeah, is that an 8-ball of cocaine? It was the fuck.
Well, yeah, and he's the one... I think during his interview, basically, they were able to... I mean, they had proof that he didn't.
Right.
Because he went a different direction.
Yeah.
So maybe he never did get in the taxi, and that's how they were able to get him away. But he was the one that said that he thought... He was the first person to kind of say he resembled a cop other than Gene, who said he had a military watch on. Like, in that type of person.
So this investigation involved 100 detectives, over 50,000 statements, and interviewed with more than 1,000 suspects.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Still to this day, no one is any closer to the true identity of Bible John. Apparently, there was a John McInnes that the lead investigator was sure was responsible, but he was never revealed what it was that led him to believe that McInnes was Bible John, but questioned him in several times.
Oh, and they said the police were like, it was creepy. Like, he just kept going and questioning them. And they'd ask, like, what is your motive? Why do you think this guy does it? He wouldn't ever say.
Yeah.
He would just keep going back. Mm-hmm. And other police were like, he's done lost his mind.
Yeah. So 11 years after Helen's murder, John McInnes committed suicide. So years later, they decided to exhume John McInnes' body and now run DNA sample against the semen of Helen's tights. It did not match.
Mm-mm.
So also they discovered that this John had dentures at the time of the murder, which also did not match the bite mark in Helen's leg.
Yeah, and they said that even if the stockings were so poorly stored over the years that even if it was unlikely, regardless of what kind of DNA testing, for them to really pull anything.
Did you hear about the theory that it was Peter Tobin?
Yeah, I saw that on, like, I saw a quick thing on that. I didn't really go into it because there was a couple things that I read that said that they found a way to completely, like, cut him
eliminate him.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did see that. I just thought that was just going to go with, like, a whole nother bunny trail.
Yeah.
But did you see it on one of your documentaries that you...
No. I did just... I kind of breezed over it, though. But they were saying how he was, like, raping and murdering women around that time. And... But, yeah.
It probably was. I don't know.
It probably was. But I'm sure we'll do his description at some point. Yeah. But they were saying that the other, with the darker hair and all that kind of stuff,
if it
went the other way, possibly that.
I could see that. Because he did. Mm-hmm.
And when you do look at, like, the sketches and stuff like that, there's some similarities. But, yeah, like I think, like you said, it would have kind of went down. Because he did have, there was a lot of women that, you know, were proven that he murdered. He is a convicted serial killer.
He is.
Yeah, so there would have been a whole episode on him, which I'm sure we'll do at some point.
For sure. Beatty also began to think that Bible John was a fellow officer at one point. And when Beatty brought this theory to his bosses, they told him not to follow it. They just said, drop it, chill out, now you're going nuts. It's not. So maybe they knew more than they were leading to, but... they did have someone in mind, and this someone was forced into retirement early and may have even committed more murders, but no one could ever get what they needed to get anything off the ground with that. Like, they could never, nothing ever stuck. The bosses shut it down. Anytime that he tried to bring their name full-fledged, you know, it just didn't work out. So
he had, like, a suspect that he thought specifically was within the department.
Yep. And, but he never releases the name until, you know, because everyone gave him the hush hush, like, don't say anything. So he didn't want to, but then they basically in the background, like, the other police kind of just like, you just need to go quietly, just go before this blows up. There are several people who mentioned Bible John had a warrant card that he had pulled out and shown different people at different times, which also led everyone to believe that maybe he was a former cop. Because I think the time in the cigarette machine at the ballroom, he ends up whipping out his warrant card. Like, I'm a cop, I guess, back then. That's kind of like a cop badge, I guess, or proof that only cops could have these warrant things or something. Yeah. And then Jean said that she remembered him kind of pulling it out to show it off. Even the other John at the ballroom that night said that Bible John, he thought that Bible John was a cop, and that is why he decided to take the bus home instead of the taxi with them. There were still so many other theories, and Gene was often called in to look through lineups, but never recognized them until one day she positively identified a man, and this man was a police officer, and it was one of Beatty's own men.
What?
Yep. So when Beatty informed Gene... Like, the guy that she pointed out, she's like, the guy that you pointed out was one of my men. She was awestruck, but stated, that man is Bible John.
What?
Unfortunately, Gene passed away in 2010, and Beatty a few years prior before they could do anything about it, and they couldn't find anything to corroborate the stories as to where he was, when he was.
Right.
Paul Harrison, which is a former police officer, was helping Joe Beatty during this case, and he went on to write the book called Dancing with the Devil, which is out now. The book was not released until several years after Gene passes away. And so the two people that Harrison claims to have received this information are no longer here to corroborate the details of the book. So basically, this new guy that's writing the book, I guess, could possibly have some information to prove that, but there's nothing to corroborate it. So it's gone. Like, there's just no way.
It's just him.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
The case is still unsolved, and some say Beatty never believed it was a serial killer at all. At the end of it all, he said that there's really no, he claims that there's no proof. Actually, let me just read it, because I think that all of these were three separate killers, but no one will ever really know. I don't understand how you can obsess over a case so much.
And then just be like, whatever.
But I guess he was only focusing on this one case and not even considering the fact that they could have all been linked, when clearly, I mean, even the Long Island serial killer had less of a...
consistent,
but this was too consistent for it not to be the same person. It all happened within a year and a half, 2 years of each other, all in the same place, all black hair, all black dresses, all menstruating, all by their house. You would not be a good cop if you did not think these were related.
Connect those. Yeah, there's clearly a specific type of woman that he was going after.
It questions Joe Beatty's mind in general. Like, you're a detective who's been known for cracking cases like this and working around the clock, and
Well, maybe people convinced him that he was so crazy that he was finally like, you know what? Maybe I'm fucking crazy.
Maybe.
And was just like, fuck it.
But how sad is that entire story?
It's horrible. It's awful.
And so Bible Tom could very well still be alive.
Yeah.
Old as shit, probably. But alive.
He's probably working. He's probably
like 67.
Yeah, he's working in some fucking Baptist church, man.
Probably. So sad.
It is.
So, for our Scotland listeners, what do you guys know about this?
We do have Glasgow, Scotland listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell us what you know or what you don't know or how you thought this went.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. We probably fucked this shit all up.
Yeah.
But yeah. Whatever.
We're at the mercy of the internet and the interwebs.
So, goddamn interweb.
Yeah. One day we might be able to fly out there and interview some people, but not today. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Bible John round two.
Bible John.
And there are some, I think, some movies or some documentaries out there, too. I've been wanting to watch a lot more of them. But, man, you get sucked into those things. And I just, next thing I know, I'm like 5 YouTube videos or 50 YouTube videos deep. And I haven't even wrote a page because I'm just like, oh, I want to see more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have to, like, just stick to the articles these days because otherwise no laundry gets done.
Right.
My house doesn't get cleaned.
Damn, man, you start clicking. Start clicking.
Clicking down that. Take you into the dark webs. The dark arts.
Takes you to dark places. Just one thing to another.
Jesus. Oh. But you could tell us about it. We're going to post some pictures, too, of Bible John on our Insta, which is Lock Your Doors Podcast. And then Twitter. I'm going to be a big girl. I'm going to do this by myself.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to need your help, but
okay.
I need your mental support.
Okay.
And then and then Twitter is at @lock_your_doors. Why did I scream that?
I don't know.
That actually, like, that just pooped.
Yeah, I think they're going to stop listening now.
My eardrum just blew out. And then Facebook, Lock Your Doors Podcast. Oh, and email us, lockyourdoorspodcast@gmail.com.
Facebook is just Lock Your Doors.
Oh, fuck.
It's fine. No, it's fine.
If you don't know by now, then you don't really listen to our podcast.
And you never know. I might just be like, hey, I'm feeling sassy. I'll show you my red eyebrows. But
oh, yeah,
you know. I doubt it. We'll see.
But I might be able to sneak
a pinch it.
And just pop it up there for a quick 24 hours.
It'll be beautiful.
Isn't that my story only stays up for 24
hours? It'll just be my eyebrows. Nothing else. Just my eyebrows.
No, it has to be up against a white wall so people really can really feel it.
I'll just do like a whole dance just with my eyebrows and we'll put it to music.
It's really hard to feel pretty in this. Just wear a mask the rest of the day.
Oh my god, yes. I did do a video. We were fucking around in Shauna's kitchen and I found this baby mask that her husband wore to my Halloween party.
He wears that just around.
Yeah, he doesn't like to wear pants.
Yeah.
Shauna makes him put that on.
Yeah. Like, if you don't want to wear pants, then wear the baby mask. Wear the baby Walk mask. Around like a baby with no pants on. Just kidding. I don't make him do that.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's gross.
That'd be weird.
Mm-hmm. We do put it on and harass my dog, though.
It is hanging out in her house. But I put it on because it looks like it's a pouty face. And then I walked in the kitchen. I was like, man, it's so hard to look pretty in this.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
It is funny. You had to be there.
Yeah, you probably will never see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, I hope you enjoyed this show because I don't know if you will.
That was horrible. I mean, the sound was good.
It was beautiful.
But the words.
All right, well.
Okay. Next time.
See you later. Bye.